Welcome back to I Am Athlete. This is B. Marshall introducing our next guest. We call this one Big Money, Silverback. Offensive tackle, NFL teams played for San Francisco 49ers, Washington Redskins, college, Oklahoma, high school, Longview High School in Texas. Born and raised in Longview, Texas, East Texas. Fourth overall pick in the 2010 NFL draft. Career earnings, that's why I call him Big Money. $140 million in 12 NFL seasons. Big bag. Oh, my goodness. This dude is 33 years of age, 6'5", 320 pounds. Silverback, Trent Williams.
You know what I would do to O linemen? Because I know that you know the path of the back. Mm-hmm. But you also don't never know what the back is doing.
Yeah, but if he don't follow me, that's on him.
Right. Ooh, I love it. Because you know what I would do? I would be going, like I'm going on the path of the back, and then I would, for no reason, just stop my feet.
Oh, that's on
to
you.
Make the run, to make the lineman think, oh, he must be coming back. Stop your feet to go again. The reason running back stopped, LaDainian Thomas used to stop, because he can stop and start faster than any linebacker he ever played. I can start and stop faster than any lineman that I played. So I'm going to go and I'm going to stop and I'm going to just start again.
So you think he's going to stop and start faster than...
And man, he's going to punch you right in your goddamn ear.
Have y'all
man.
Played against each other?
I'm sure.
Yeah, we did. Who and I ain't gonna lie. It was like this. We was in Chicago together.
And what happened?
Man, did it was you do a lot going on start? With the offense.
No.
I don't want to hear it.
I never got pancakes. I never got pancakes.
Come on now.
Leave me alone, man.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he got to eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Hey. The I Am Athlete Parlay. We've been hot. These are guaranteed wins.
I'm going to take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
It's all about matchup, understanding who's playing against who. It's a game of chess.
March Mania is here. DraftKings got a lot of cool things you can do this time of the year. New customers, download the app. You're giving away 40-1 odds. What does that mean? If you bet $5 on a team that wins, you get 200 back, 40-1. Also, there's same day parlays. There's so many other bets you can get into the game with, make it rain. And my favorite one is DraftKings free $1 million March Mania Survivor Pool. The only deal is you just got to make sure you jump in the game before tip-off on March 19th. Download the app. Use promo code ATHLETE. Get in the game, get your bag, and make it rain. DraftKings.com is the sports book. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay, I Am Athlete all day. Promo code ATHLETE. Let's get it. And there's two ways we can start right now. Y'all want to talk about the program or you want to talk about football?
It ain't football season.
Crazy.
It ain't football season.
It ain't football season, but we can't start off without talking about the best motherfucking tackle in the game.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I
that's
the best way to start it off.
Yeah.
The best?
Yeah. And a little birdie told me, a little source told me he wanted to transition to a contender. That's what the birdie told me.
Ooh,
so
it's messy out the gate.
Huh? I ain't getting messy. I'm just telling facts and speaking truths.
All right. Well, hey, listen, bro. You know we always like to keep it real. I mean, like, who's the birdie?
Huh?
Give us your source.
I ain't gonna give you my source because I'm not Adam Schefter. I'm just saying he wants to go to a contender. Great. You know, and there's a team that I know that I've been associated with for years that could really use a left tackle.
So you saying?
I'm saying he Big could be bro. Blocking for Joe Mixon next year. That's what I'm saying.
How you feel about that?
I'm under contract, man.
You under who?
I'm under contract.
What's that?
There you go.
They can cut us when they want to. The contract really don't mean nothing.
Don't do it. Don't fall for it.
If they cut me, I'm available. But
I
don't fall for it.
You was just rated not only the best tackle, but the best.
The best tackle.
He was rated the best player.
Number one.
Yeah. Broke a record.
Statistics.
Yeah.
Pro Football Focus.
Right.
And they not even paying me to mention them. And we under the cap. Somebody do your homework. How much we under the cap over in Cincinnati, please?
You don't be paying nobody. You gotta call him, bro. He don't be paying nobody.
Who? Oh, no, we pay.
Y'all pay?
We just spent $200 million in the offseason last year. Ooh. Don't do that. It's okay. The reason we made it. We made it.
So which, how you feel? So I mean, that's an interesting conversation,
interesting.
Though. What you, 32? 33 now?
33.
You 33?
33.
What's the goals? Like, what you trying to comp? Like, how many more years you got left?
10.
I don't know. We play it by ear. I'm on the contract for another 5 years, so that's my goal, is to fulfill my contractual duties, but, you know, we'll
sound,
see.
That sound PC to me. That don't sound like the shit I know. That's PC.
Hey, you know, I'm blessed with the contract they offered me. Shoot, I want to fulfill it.
Probably right when I was 31, 32, I started thinking about life after football. I started thinking about, you know, what I wanted my football legacy to be. You know, and that's, I was playing for the Jets at the time. That's when I made the move to the Giants. It's like, oh, damn, Odell is the number one. I go be the number two. He gonna get double coverage. Now I got one-on-one with the number two cornerback, right? So I was thinking about that. They just came off a NFC championship, you know, and they had an up top five defense. And so I was looking at, like, man, this is an opportunity for us to go win. You know, as you enter into this, what is it, year what, 13?
13.
Ooh.
You enter, yeah. What's the priority for you?
The win. You know, obviously last year, the closest I've ever been to the big game.
I mean, it's my first time in the playoff game last year, right?
My first time winning one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was 0-2.
I know that was a good feeling.
Yeah, nah, that was an amazing feeling. But, you know, just piggybacking off of that, I think we got the team to repeat that same success.
Yeah. And,
you know, that's my only focus. You know, as a player, did I go into every season just, you know, thinking that I want to be better than last year. Mm. So, you know, as I start this offseason process, I'm going to be studying, you know, 2021 Trent, and I'm going to find a way to make 2022 Trent even better.
But
Trent, let me ask you something. You've been in 9 Pro Bowls at this point right now.
Nine.
Nine, right?
Nine.
At this point, when you go in there, the team is really all about you now. Like, you're the older guy in the locker room.
Yeah.
So, like, what is your message to these younger guys that don't understand, like, it's hard to win a playoff game?
Yeah.
This is your first time winning one. So, like, they think it's going to come every year. Like, what is your message to these guys when you
win? Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Coach, before we played Dallas, you know, Coach had a few guys, including myself, you know, stand up and talk because we have a younger team. And, you know, even if they was on the roster in 2019, they used to a Super Bowl run. And, you know, obviously last year we had injuries. So, you know, that's a cop-out that everybody can go with. You know, but the point was to let them know how hard it is to actually get in that position and how hard it is to actually execute and win a playoff game, not only just get there, but to win one. And then not to take it for granted. You know, I think it was about, I want to say, 6 years since I last been in one. You know, when you go to them, we all know, we feel like, yeah, we'd be right back next year. And we know that's not the case. It's a little harder than that. So, you know, that was pretty much the message that they wanted me to preach.
So back to Ocho's statement.
Right. This is what we're not doing. We need to lay out the foundation. Let's lay out the blueprint.
Yeah, right.
And understand.
Don't fall for it.
No, don't listen to me now. Garoppolo,
right.
The future on what he's going to do is up. It's up in arm. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm not sure if his contract fulfilled. I'm not sure if he's coming back. I'm not sure if they're happy with him.
T.O., so say that's my quarterback.
I'm a
Victorian. Don't fall for it.
Let me finish laying the foundation, right? So the goal is to always repeat what you did from the previous season.
Right.
So Garoppolo might not be there.
Right.
Trey Lance has a small sample size of what he can do or what he can
accomplish. Got a couple plays.
But out east, there's this team, right? Consider the
don't
Midwest,
say
right?
East.
Consider the Midwest.
Don't say Cincinnati.
They got a young gun. I'm not saying Cincinnati. They got a young gun, right?
You're right.
Right?
Right.
And we have a missing piece of this puzzle that could have got us over the hump. Because that 4th-and-1 against the Rams, there was one piece, right, that if we had big fella sent to my right.
Yeah.
We hosting that Lombardi. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to say, I know you're under contract. This ain't tampering, because I know people.
I feel you.
Okay, I know people.
I think it's tampering.
Borderline.
Is there a borderline?
Oh, we got plenty of cap space.
How much they gonna make it? No, they gonna make it.
$40 million? Oh.
We'll give you all of it.
When my camera at? The Bengals right now have $43 million in cap space. We can make it happen. The powers that be, you're going to see them because all the GMs, all the higher-ups, you guys watch I Am Athlete. We can make it happen.
And that's number one. That's number one priority. They got to protect Burrow.
Hold on. He already highest paid. Huh?
We can add a few incentives.
Joe is not paid yet.
Look, now. Don't fall.
You know this. Your quarterback, you got a young quarterback. If he ain't at the table, that's more money for everybody else. So this is an opportunity, bro. Yeah. I like what you're saying.
Joe ain't going to the table for another 2 years. So that's plenty of room to do what we need to do and making you happy. And it's a great place. It's a place that's winning. It's a place where the culture has changed.
Change, yeah.
I'm not sure who I need to talk to, but I think he's right in front of me.
Yeah, Vince.
Because I know people.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, come on. Right. Don't fall for it.
Bro, appreciate you coming out.
Oh, yeah, no problem, bro.
Dog, I watched the documentary for the first time. I'm going to be real. I got to be honest. I watched the documentary for the first time last night. Mm-hmm. I cried.
What?
Yeah. Straight up. I'm about to cry right now. Nah, just think about bro. It, bro. Like, yeah. No, straight up. Like, you watched the documentary?
Yeah.
And bro,
it should have been more insight on what was going on. I didn't know about that. I just know about you, the hell of a fucking left tackle, week in and week out. I didn't know the backstory to what you had to go through, and you still to be able to overcome that and steal that boy.
Yeah, I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I think that was a big part of the process, man. I honestly just wanted to handle it. I wanted to, I didn't want the big outpour, you know, and people. I appreciate my supporting cast for sure, but I just felt like that was one of the things I was so taken back by it at the beginning. I just needed to compose myself and kind of compartmentalize what life would look like,
right.
And so I didn't tell a lot of people. I didn't let a lot of people in on that news on purpose.
So an hour and 30 minute film, okay, Silverback, okay? You can find it on all platforms. Definitely go to YouTube, you can find it. Can you take us through those 5 years, bro? Like, you know, because a lot of people haven't seen the doc or don't even know this story, right? Because it's independent. You know, you all produce it yourself, you and your agent, Vincent. And so 2014, you Googling, you know, do I have a brain tumor? What is a brain tumor? Walk us through, like, 2014, bro, into 2019.
Yeah, I was sitting in a meeting, you know, just bored. I'm playing them, like, my hair. And I just feel like a little bump, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking it's a hair bump, and it's just right by my hairline. So, like a day or two go by, I keep messing with it. I'm waiting on it to come to a head, pull the hair, you know, that whole deal. And it didn't. And then, like, I guess I got a headache associated with it, but I guess I probably was just, you know, stressing, just playing with, like, messing with it all day. So I ain't really panicked. And then, you know, the headache came the next day. So I went on Google, and that's when I looked. I'm like, you know, I just typed in lump on the scalp or on the skull, and then a bunch of stuff about cancer came up. So immediately I called a trainer. I booked an appointment with the doctor the next day, and I walk in, and my first words is, hey, doc, I think I got a tumor on my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, check it out. And so he kind of chuckled. You know, he played with it. He touched it a little bit, you know, messed with it. He was like, I think it's a cyst. So, you know, initially I'm relieved because I'm like, all right, now I can stop thinking this more than what it is. So so I say, you know, all right, so what do we do from here? And at that time it was during the season. So he was like, well, since it's so close by your hairline, we gonna need a plastic surgeon. We can't just go in there and extract it. So if we did that, you would miss at least a week and a half of football, you know, because it's about 12 to 14 days. So. Obviously, I wasn't trying to miss a game, especially for that. So I'm like, all right, cool. We worry about it in the offseason. I forgot all about it. I come back the next time, and it's kind of growing a little bit. So I'm like, yeah, you know, it's in camp. I'm like, doc, what's up? You know what I'm saying? It's growing. When can we go ahead and get this stuff removed? You know, obviously, you didn't want to miss no camp, so they push it off again a whole nother year. I come back, and at this point, coach had gave me a little time to rest because I had a knee issue. This was in 17. You know, I asked him, hey, since I'm going to be off for a couple weeks, let me go ahead and get this taken care of. You know, I ain't going to have to put a helmet on. And, you know, they were just like, well, we ain't really got nobody available at this time. You know, it ain't really that important. It ain't hurting, you know? And no, it really wasn't hurting. Fast forward to 2018, I had knee surgery, you know, and I asked him, hey, while I'm under, just walk somebody in and go and do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we can kill two birds with one stone. Yeah. They like, nah, we don't think that's that important. We got to bring another crew, X, Y, and Z. So, you know, I'm not trying to rock the boat. So I just say, okay. And then I had another procedure on my thumb. I asked the same thing. They denied it. Then I had to go in and do like a small procedure on my knee again. Asked the same thing. Had got the same answer. So 2019 come by after the season over with. It's grown, you know. It's grown, you know, at a good rate. Not like huge. It wouldn't be nothing that you would just notice off of the bat. But I mean, it's me fiddling around with it for 4 years. I could tell, you know. So, and I also had a couple more start to form. So I'm like, damn, this shit feel connected. You know what I'm saying? But he telling me, no, it's just cysts, whatever. So after the 2019 year, I'm like, I want to get this cut off my shit. I had to kind of wear my hair kind of bushy because I had the bun right there and it was hard to cut over it. So I lock them in the training room. I'm like, look, y'all make the appointment right now.
Hold on, you locked them in the training room?
Yeah, like during exit physical, I grabbed a doc and the trainer. I said, y'all come here. We went in the training room. I closed the door. I said, let's make the appointment right now. I ain't got nothing to do for another 2 weeks. And then I'm leaving and I want to get it done before I leave. You know, because I think we had tied like the franchise record in consecutive Pro Bowls. So I wanted to go.
Seven.
Yeah, I wanted to go celebrate. And, you know, so I was saying, I want to do this, and then I'm going to go to
the Pro Bowl.
I went to DR and then the Pro Bowl. Oh,
okay.
Watch the doc, and you know this shit, Pat. Watch the doc.
So I went. It's all good.
Yeah,
it's
like, I found out in the DR. I just watched it last night.
Yeah. I ain't know. Now I know.
Ain't nobody know.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, so they make me the appointment a week later. I go in, and the doc, he kind of like, man, I don't think there's no cyst. I'm like, look, man, I've been going back and forth with these people for 5 years. They say it's a cyst. Just cut them out, man. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so he called the team doc, and the team doc said, told him the exact same thing. Like, we've been monitoring 5 years. I think it's a cyst. And he like, man, all right, bro. I'll go ahead and do it. He's like, I won't cut every one of them out, but I'll cut the main one out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was one right here, and it kind of was getting irritated when I put my helmet on. No. So he's like, I'll remove that one. I'm like, cool. He do that. About 4 or 5 days later, we just got to DR. Then I get the voicemail. And then that's when, you know, I couldn't understand the voicemail because he was kind of an Indian guy with a heavy accent. And so he was speaking real fast, real frantically. And I just kind of hung up. I'm like, I don't know what he talking about. You know what I'm saying? So I just hung up. But it kind of stayed in the back of my mind. Then the team doc called like 30 minutes later. And he like, hey, turns out there wasn't a cyst, you know. They said it's a tumor, but it could be this condition to where people kind of like create tumors that are benign or whatever. And they was like, so we think that's what it is, don't worry. And so they were like, we're gonna make you a doc's appointment. Made me a doc's appointment. I'm at the Pro Bowl now, it's the following week, and my mom's a nurse, you mm-hmm. know, so I didn't really want to tell her because I know how she worries. She worries a lot. And so, but I couldn't.
Because your sister said in the doc that you're a mama's boy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Nah, I am. I love mama. Love mama, man. Yeah. So I couldn't, you know, it was something I couldn't really keep from her. So I told her, and then she was like, so what doctor are you going to see? And I'm like, I don't know. He just told me to be at this place, see this man at 3:00 on Wednesday. She like, well, go Google it, boy. You know what I'm saying? That'll tell you everything. So I go in my room, get my phone, I Google it, come back, it's an oncologist, a cancer doctor. So I'm like, you know, at that point, I started to realize like, you know, this probably a lot more serious than they leave me on. Doc probably didn't want to just put it on me because I was, you know what I'm saying? He wanted to probably right. tell me face to face. So, but yeah, once I Googled that, I didn't even tell my mom. I just closed the door, and it was probably like 3:00 in the evening. I just sat in there, kind of just cried myself to sleep, on and off. I ain't come out till like noon the next day. Ooh, you know, gosh. I come out, and man, my mom, obviously I tell her, so she like, I'm not leaving. We're going to go to the appointment together. We go in. It's like five white coats in there, you know, and the team doc and me and my mom. They come in and they like, well, I guess you probably already know why we're here. And I'm like, I don't know nothing. At this point, I don't know nothing. They just told me to be here. But they was like, oh, well, you got DFSP. It's a very rare form of cancer that lies in the skin, you know, soft tissue and the bone. And, you know, if left there, it could be harmful. But obviously, we got it in enough time. You know, when did you notice the bump? And when I was like, enough time. And I kind of looked at the team doc. And I'm like,
ooh, you motherfucker.
And I was like, man, it's been here for like 5 years. And it was like everybody just kind of dropped the clipboard and they just looked at me and kind of looked at him like, how in the hell we just hearing about this? So they just leave the room, send me to another doctor. Like, we gotta send you to a doctor who can handle this.
A specialist.
I get to this doctor and he like, man, I gotta put a board of doctors together. I need to get like 4 or 5 doctors to do this. Like, we gotta have a whole board of doctors to do this procedure. So now I went from, you know, thinking that it was gonna be something cool, something that we can get out the way. So now I'm like, damn, they keep telling me I'm straight, but it just sound a lot bigger than what they lead me on, you know, to believe. And, you know, we go by, they plan the surgery for Thursday. They called me on Tuesday, like, hey, I think we ought to get an MRI too, so that we can map out our surgery plan. And I'm like, damn, this shit is 2 days before the surgery. Why we ain't already do that? Anyway, so I went and got the MRI. They called me on Wednesday, and it's like 3:00. And I'm in Northern Virginia. I'm in like where the facility's at, right. You know, there on like the border of the DC, Virginia little line. So it's like a 30, 45 minute drive. And they called me at 3:30, like, hey, we need you to come in. And I'm like, damn, dog, I won't be there until like 6, you know? And he was like, well, I don't care what time you get here, we gonna be here. You know, we close here in a minute, but we gonna wait for you. So as soon as he said that, I knew something was wrong. I'm like, ah. And this was the first appointment I went to without my mom. Because my mom had my kids, and I didn't want my kids old enough to read, so I didn't want to take them with me or like even have them around that, because they would see the cancer on the side of the buildings and all that. And I just didn't want that on their heart or their mind going back and forth to school. So I just, you know, I couldn't bring my mom. I just hit it. I went by myself and walk in. Office dark. You know, it's only like a couple hallway lights on. They walk me right back there, sit me in the room. The main doc haven't came in yet, but the nurse, mm-hmm. you know, she already got tears in her eyes. So I'm like, it's over with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking my career over. I'm like, you know, this ain't good. You know, I felt like I had a lot more to prove. Like, you know, I ain't ready to walk away right now. So the main doc come in, and he was, you know, he was holding it together at first, but then we start talking, you know, I start tearing up, lips shaking and shit. So, you know, he kind of beating around the bush, like, man, it ain't never easy. This is the hardest part about being a doctor. You know, this ain't never easy, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I just cut him off, like, doc, what is it? Like, I can't play ball no more. Just put it on me, man. I've been going crazy the last couple hours. He was like, man, you know, football, I think at least your worries right now. Wow. So when he said that, I just kind of sat back. And I couldn't even look at him. I was just looking off in the corner of the room. But I could just hear him, you know. And then they crying. And he was just like, yeah, man, you know, football, at least your worries, man. You need to, you know, you got kids, right? I'm like, yeah, I got, you know, 2 daughters. You know, you just need to get close to them, you know. Get close to the people who are important, you know. He's like, you just need to get your affairs in order. Hmm. And I'm like, shit. You know, once he said that, I was shocked, like, speechless, like.
It hit you right then when he said, get your, because you mentioned that a couple times in the doc, where you was like, man, that when I heard those words, get your affairs in order, that shit got real for you.
Super real.
It got super real. When I heard that, and then I was a little mad at that point because I'm like, damn, if this shit didn't sit here for 5 years, we wouldn't even be this far. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could have got this out the way and I could have been able to live a normal life. I experienced a little anger at that point, but you know, I'm human and I understand. You know, I understand that it's a very rare cancer. Like, it's like 5% chance that you even come across this type of cancer. They don't see it every day. So, you know, I couldn't just hold a grudge for somebody making a human mistake because I just understand human nature. So, I didn't want to hold a grudge versus the doctor because obviously I've been there 10 years almost. And you grow a relationship with the people you see every day.
Right.
You know, so
facts.
My initial, I didn't want to just lash out at them. You know what I'm saying? Because at that point, I felt like we was dealing with it together. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't want to make it about like, damn, you f***ed me up. Like, because I knew that he knew he messed up. And that if he could change it, he would have changed it. But it was some, you know, 9 out of 10 doctors would have did the exact same thing he did. So I didn't want to hold that grudge, you know, but.
That's wild to me because in that moment, bro, you thinking about how he feel, but them doctors told you.
It's just a cyst. Go ahead and.
Yeah, but in that moment, the doc said, bro, they said, yo, you lucky if you lived at 45. Real. That's why I'm like.
That's crazy.
But that's why I'm saying, like, what you.
When I'm thinking about it.
No,
they told
me that at the radiologist. Yeah. This was before.
Before
when I went to the radiologist, they like, man, why you here? I'm like, yeah, they sent me here, and they like, well, you got a tumor right here. If we try to shrink it using radiation. Chemotherapy or the radiology, yeah, you gonna have cancer in 10 to 12 years. I mean, 12 to 15 years. So they said like, you won't live past that because you'll develop brain cancer. So I'm like, why the hell they y'all bring me here? They're like, I don't know. Your team set up the appointment.
Chemo,
that's what we
the
had.
The chemo will give you
the radiation.
The radiation from the chemo.
Explain that. Cause like, so, we gotta, bro. A lot of people. Go ahead. You gotta go deep.
Yeah. So you
like,
couldn't
a lot
do
of
radiation.
Going this,
no.
Bro.
All right. I couldn't shrink it via radiation because with my age,
yeah.
They said that I would 100% develop brain cancer from the spot that they was doing it at. So they usually don't want to do that unless it's somebody, you know, on the back end of life where the extra 10, 15 years don't really matter.
Right.
You know, but for me, I would have been 42, 45. And you know, so.
So what they end up doing?
So that's when, I mean, so that was a couple weeks before this appointment that I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once he told me, mind you, they told me this is the best doctor on the East Coast.
And
when
then
I went
brought
to
you
him.
In there after hours.
Yeah.
And just them and
nobody
there. Your mom not there.
Mm-mm, just me.
I always felt like we had the best doctors when we do these crazy physicals
yeah,
every year.
Right.
How does
the NFL miss this?
How
$1 billion? Hold on. Tell me, Chad. I'm trying to figure it out.
Did you say a billion?
Hold on.
If, 16
if
billion.
If your knee break, I bet they can put it back together.
Yeah. Don't nothing get by them.
Come on, man. If you piss dirty, they gonna tell you everything in your piss.
Right.
Man, how in the hell we got all these doctors that can't find out something wrong with something else?
Right. But before you finish the story, like I feel like you gotta take ownership and you like what you said, with how you pulled the doctor in and you pulled the trainer in, the head trainer in, and you're like, you know, we're gonna make this appointment right now. You have to do that when it comes to your health. You have to do that.
When I'm thinking about it, it all comes down to the goddamn team doctor.
Mm.
It all comes down to the team doctor. And knowing you, the bell cow, you the horse at the time in D.C., we got to make sure that horse is available.
Right.
Every time. That's the only thing I can think about.
Yeah.
If you got something bothering you on your head, there ain't no reason as a doctor, as a professional, just a cyst, don't even worry about it. Just to make sure for ownership that you out there on Sundays.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I think of. That's the first thing I think of.
No, I feel you. I didn't want nothing to be wrong with me anyway, so I wasn't looking for it. When they told me I was cool, that was all I needed to hear.
So you were shying away from it anyway, huh?
I ain't looking to go, you know what I'm saying? I ain't looking for an issue. If
right,
I go see the team doctor who is a doctor of $1 billion organization,
right.
Then I'm thinking that yeah, he is probably as good
interest.
As it get, right?
Yeah.
And got my best interest at heart.
I would think the same,
but his,
yeah.
Honestly,
same thing.
Honestly, the team doctor has the team's best interest at
exactly.
hand. That's making sure you're available on Sunday.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But can we talk about that?
I understand that when it comes to body parts, limbs, and all that. But when you have a main issue,
and that's not an issue that arises all the time, too, Pac.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like it'd be different if his ankle was sore.
Right.
You know what I mean? We can look past that. But if he have something on his head that may be some or may not be some, right. You got to go by all precaution. You do it with everything else. If somebody having an irregular heartbeat, what you going to do? You going to send them over to the hospital, like, bro, go get checked out or you can't play.
I had appointments with dermatologists they picked out, you know, and they didn't really have an answer either. So, you know, I mean, it ain't like we just kept. They sent me to doctors. You know, I'm not trying to take up for, I'm just telling them how it actually went.
But I go back to 2014 when you Googled that, because to me, I feel like that's the only way you got to understand is women out there dealing with, when they're going through labor, you know, especially our black women, dealing with placenta abruptions and how they get treated when they go to the hospitals, when we go to the hospitals. And it ain't even a black and white thing. I'm just talking about period. You have to take ownership in it. You have to do your own research. You can't depend on and rely on these medical experts, these doctors, to get it right. So, like, you did it the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the same way with my wife sitting in the hospital, bro, my third child. We sitting there, and she bleeding out, and they talking about go and piss. I'm like, how's she going to go piss when she keep bleeding blood? Like, you ain't going to get that. Like, what are you talking about? And I had to go ham in there, and I'm like, no, right now we got to go. The doctor ain't picking up, et cetera, et cetera. So I say all that because I'm really trying to educate right now, you know, off of your story, and say, like, you got to take ownership the same way you took ownership in that.
Even when you're scared.
Yeah. Even when you're scared,
when
bro.
You're scared, I got a question. You mentioned, you know, throughout the years, you kept feeling, you kept touching it. You kept going to the doctors. You kept listening. And I think we all kind of know and feel our body playing sports. There's been times where we know, but we don't want to know. Was there ever a point in time where, especially when you heard about the terminal aspect of it, mm-hmm. did you think to yourself, like, damn, I should have kept pushing and kept going because I'm touching, I'm playing. Yeah, I trust these people. I believe in them, but this is my body and I know. Was there a point that you wished that you did really, really rock the boat?
Yeah, of course, hindsight 2020, but you know, I wasn't in pain. I wasn't suffering. Like, I didn't even, you know, it was just aesthetically I wanted it going. It wasn't like I was hurting. I didn't get migraines or anything behind it, which is, you know, part of the reason what make this cancer hard to deal with, because the side effects are so, you know, benign that you don't really have any.
Sarcoma,
yeah. So the one that I had is not like a tumor, like, you know, a mass. It has tentacles, so it's like roots. So the longer it's there, the further the roots start to go, and then it attaches on to muscle or bone. And mine was attached on to my bone, and the doctor, when he read the MRI, it looked like the cancer had already metastasized through my skull and reached my brain, and that's why he told me to get my affairs in order.
One doc in the film, he came in and he was like, yo, this is the first time I seen light at the end of the tunnel, because he was like, no, we can handle this, because you were lucky that it didn't get mm-hmm. into your skull yeah. or into your brain.
Yeah, it was on top of my skull, but it hadn't metastasized through, and then they didn't know. That could have been an hour, it could have been a day, it could have been a month. Like, at that time, nobody knows how long.
So let me push the conversation forward. Like, how do we... You know, and it's the reality, right? Like, I'm not trying to bash the NFL, you know, and I said this on a Brian Flores interview, right? Like, the NFL saved my life. It saved a lot of our lives, right? Like,
you definitely know, changed.
Bro, like, when I got drafted, my mom was living in Tucker, Georgia, bro, and she was on an air mattress.
My mom was on Simpson Road.
Yeah, right.
On an air mattress.
thank you, NFL.
Yeah, thank you.
You feel me? Thank you. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of conversation that we got to have. So, like, when we talk about medical, there's this inherent conflict between player and organization, like you said earlier. It's like, do they care about me or do they care about me getting on the field? And so, like, what are some of the things that we can do differently to bridge the gap between the medical staffs, the players, and making sure, like, yo, when we sit down, you really care about me, the person, not just the player?
Well, first off, it got to start with accountability. So there's when we signed the CBA. CBA. You waive your right to sue for malpractice. So a doc can tell you things that are beneficial of the team and could be not beneficial to your health because he's protected. He can't, not like a regular citizen can go say, doc, you gave me false information. I'm going to take you to court, sue you for malpractice.
Right.
We can't do that because under the CBA, we waive those rights. Right. Yeah. So until they have to be accountable for false, representing or false informing us about an injury, I don't really think it'll change. And I honestly don't think it's a lot you can do about it. At that point, you either choose to stay in upstanding views of your organization and say, I'll go out there and play through this like they asked me to do. Or you say, I'm going to get a second opinion. Y'all just got to wait. And then we know how they go. And when they, that's a strike against you. And that's conversations they had in rooms that we're not a part of behind closed doors where that will be put against you. You know, when you go into the table, when they're looking to have to pay you this $10 million roster bonus or cut you, by a certain date. Like, that all matters at that point.
Right. Can I shift, gears real quick? Bro, you from the east side of Texas.
Yeah.
How the f*** are you so smart? Smart as hell. He got pretty teeth.
Hey, I was this nigga handsome.
Hey, I was there the whole time.
He 325.
I played with Gerard Warren. That's my type of D-line.
Why you getting that big claim?
Oh, my. Oh,
hey, give me a hug.
Handsome.
Smell good too.
Flat
what you wearing?
Belly?
What's the cologne you wearing?
I don't know. My brother got it for me, man.
Real talk. Hey, this ain't what linemen look like when I played.
Listen,
Tom. Hold on.
This is what the best look like.
Wait. Tom Nayland. You heard of Tom Nayland? Tom Nayland was the center for the Denver Broncos when they had that crazy stretch offense, cut everybody in the club.
Oh yeah.
Game day, he used to come with his suit in a bag this big. and he had the dad Tiva joints.
Yeah,
this is a whole different. This boy.
Man, we trained.
You feel like you feel
tell
like
him, man, that's back in the 90s, man.
Yeah, that's back in the 90s. We trained.
Tell him, man. You gotta be in shape to wear this stuff.
Ain't no big uglies around here, man. That's part of the younger generation, they get it too. They see and then just transcend the position, man. You ain't got to be big country white dude to play offensive line. We do is an art form. There ain't no get in there and get your nose dirty.
I be in the trenches too with him. I know. Hey, listen to me. Guy. You drop step, I drop
and
off.
And I ain't never been dunked on. This guy, I be in the trenches too.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what that art,
but you
that
ain't,
art
you ain't
longer
the
than
boy, stay outside.
I went on YouTube, I looked up a film on you, and I saw you breaking down some of the run plays. And I was watching you explain it, and you had Matt.
With Staley? Somehow
the center is getting to a guy 3-4 gaps away, and I understand everybody to be fast and athletic. But I watched you.
Yeah.
So when you out there on the edge in space and you attacking, whether it's a DB or a linebacker, what is your thought process?
Well, first you gotta understand the path that the back is taking, right? So when we have a toss crack, I know that the corner has the receiver man, right, in the bunch. Soon as that receiver step down, one step, that corner is gonna react.
Yep.
It's gonna take him about maybe a half a second to understand, oh, they doing a pull and trap, a sweep. So what I try to do is in my first 5 yards, I'm trying to outflank him.
Gotcha.
Get him on my inside shoulder.
To put the pressure on him.
Exactly.
Get him to turn his shoulders.
So now I can run at an angle full speed, and it's up to him. You either get on the train tracks or you make a business decision and we're around the corner.
I got a question for you.
It's even worse now because they can't cut
you better
them
make the business decision.
I got a question for you. You know what I would do to O linemen? Because I know that you know the path of the back, but you also don't never know what the back is doing.
Yeah, but if he don't follow me, that's on him.
Right. Ooh. I love it. Because you know what I would do? I would be going, like I'm going on the path of the back, and then I would, for no reason, just stop my feet.
Oh, that's on
you. To make the lineman think, oh, he must be coming back. Stop your feet to go again.
Yeah, if you stop your feet,
that's next level.
I'm going to stiff arm you, what we call it.
Wait, O lineman stiff arm?
I
I'm glad I'm out the league.
I'm just trying to get a hand in your chest to make sure that I make you stop your feet, right? I'm going to stay on my angle. I put a hand in your chest. Now, the free safety is one for the back. Now, bro, I can get two.
I get stiff armed by an O-line. I'm done. I can show you no more.
I can put
what you mean going to get two?
He took himself out of the play. Right. I'm going to go get the free. He the only one blocked.
You missed it.
Most of the time, the free is meeting the backer.
You got two options.
Why in the hell would you stop?
Who?
You.
You wonder why we ain't winning the Super Bowl in Chicago. Hold on. What you going to do? Chill out.
Because here's why. When a running back has the ball and they making moves and they stop their feet.
It's the track of him, though.
It don't matter. He don't know what's going on behind him.
It's the track of him. They got to follow him.
I can show you 100 plays that I've done in my career
where I've done this.
It's a mind game, right? He going on a track, but he don't know what's happening on the play. So what I'm going to do is I'm running. I'm going to slowly hezzy.
Anytime you go up on the all that,
I'm not going under. Listen, I'm running. Here's what I'm saying. All right, perfect example. Let's say it's just a regular run inside, whatever, right? I know coach want to teach facing hands, control the motherfucker. I can't do that with you.
Right.
So if I know I got to be here, I'm going to go and I'm going to show here. To get you to think that you got me going here. And you're gonna start to push that way, and then I'm gonna get off that way. So my mindset is when you on that track, we both going on that track, I'ma just for no reason stop. You will stop your feet.
I'm not stopping.
When I pull, the second highest paid player in the league.
And the best player in the NFL.
Why would you not follow right behind him? That's on the back. You know, we all got a job.
I'm talking about beating him. I'm going to still go there. The reason running back stopped, LaDainian Thomas used to stop, because he could stop and start faster than any linebacker he ever played. I can start and stop faster than any lineman that I played. So I'm going to go and I'm going to stop and I'm going to just start again.
So you think you're going to stop and start faster than...
And man, he going to punch you right in your goddamn ear.
Have y'all played against each other?
I'm sure.
Yeah, we did. And I ain't gonna lie, it was like this. We was in Chicago together.
And what happened?
Man, did you do the stop and start?
No.
I want
to
hear.
I never got pancakes. Come on, I never got pancakes.
Come on now.
Leave me alone, man.
How many times you got him?
I don't remember. Hey, he said, y'all playing against each other? He said, I'm drunk.
How many times I'm gonna get you, man?
Yeah, you get what I'm trying to say.
In all reality, I know that there's two factors that can fuck the player.
Yeah.
It's the end getting penetration on the receiver. So when I pull, I'm skimming that receiver just in case he need help.
Right.
Because I know, all right, or if I go and I see the receiver was late to get down, he could have been late off the snap, or he could have, the end could have been Von Miller and just got a good jump. The play might cut back, but then again, that's really not on me. I can't control what they're doing behind me.
He got to be an athlete.
If you stop, you out to play.
And that's what makes it so difficult.
And it's hard because think about who we got coming out the backfield, too.
Right. DeMarco Murray, Adrian Peterson. Chris Ivory. None of y'all know who Chris Ivory is.
And you miss one.
Rank who?
For next year.
Oh, man. Okay, we're going to throw Mix in there. We're going to throw Mix in there.
Okay.
All right. Out of all the backs that you block for and you put Joe Mixon in there, okay, rank them.
Frank Gore, number one.
I know Frank Gore. AP, number one, two, and three.
It got to be AP.
So you said AP, one, two, and three?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a grown man in college, bro.
Who ran you over?
AP?
He ain't going to run me over. He ran you over.
I'm making a business decision. That's a business decision.
Go low.
Yeah, I'm going to go low. But hey, if I miss, I miss. They don't pay me to talk to him up high. So what happened, you know what I mean? But boy, when AP was young, AP.
He was that.
Listen,
yeah.
That Minnesota, what you mean?
I'm talking
about AP at first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't see why not.
Devin Hester wasn't at first ballot Hall of Famer.
Devin Hester ain't AP.
I thought Hester should have been the first ballot. You know, I do think. Why are you looking at me like that, bro?
You know why I'm here to say it.
I thought he should have been the first ballot.
Yeah, I respect it.
Listen, hold on. If you're the best, if there's a Hall of Fame in job, league, whatever the fuck it is, and you bringing people in, if you're the best at what you do, how do you not automatically make the Hall of Fame?
That means everybody made it.
First ballot?
You know how hard it is?
Who are you talking about? Devin
the Hester? Best.
Are you talking about Hester?
I only talk about hurricanes. The best.
Well, yeah, he should have been first ballot.
He should have been first ballot.
The problem, the challenge right here, I mean, there's so many challenges, but one of the challenges
is... They changed the rules, bro.
It's backed up, right? Like, you got so many dudes that's been in the holding pattern and
bro,
waiting.
Bro, they let fucking equipment managers in it.
But number-wise, ain't nobody in the front.
No, but it was a... No, I ain't gonna go there, because...
All right, back to the topic real quick. Top five. You got AP, you said top three.
Yeah,
why AP?
AP, obviously.
Why you say top three?
I feel like he the best back ever touched the football, in my opinion. That's just me. From the football I've seen with my own two eyes,
yeah.
I don't see nobody better than 2-8.
That's hard to argue with.
See, is that biased, though? Is that
biased? It could be, we can argue numbers, but I mean, you seen what he did in every facet of his career. Like, you look at high school, college, NFL, nothing changed.
Right.
Nothing changed. He continued that same dominance.
Who's after AP?
Starters.
Yeah.
After AP, you know, obviously Chris. That's my brother. So
I played with Chris.
You know Chris. Woo-hoo. Chris, a real deal.
Oh, that's the one
with the dreads.
Ran hard, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
He ran like what's number 24 from the Cowboys? A while back.
Marion Barber.
Marion Barber.
Chris Ogden like
he
that,
ran
right?
Harder than him.
Okay. And he ran fast.
He ran.
And you were 2.5 pack.
Yes, bro. Barber was nice. I ain't taking nothing
away from him. I mean, with the Jets?
He was with
Barber
the Jets.
Barber was nice.
Oh, my goodness. I used to look at him like, bro, like, you ain't going to make it another year if you keep running like that. It's like, he heck no.
And Chris left on his own terms. He came in undrafted, free agent, made the team with the Saints in a crowded backfield. That was when they was... you know, hot going to the Super Bowl or NFC Championship. Yeah, Reggie Bush, the whole nine. And I mean, he had a 10-year career, made a couple Pro Bowls. I mean, you talk about starting from the bottom. I mean, like when he got there, he probably was the last man on the roster. So, I mean, you can't, that says so much about his character and, you know, how he continued to persevere, you know. And, you know, I like Raheem Mostert, man. I know a lot of people may not think that, but to me, he the new age Chris Johnson. And like, blocking for him was.
Talk that talk.
He got heat like that.
Look him up.
I like that.
Ain't nobody in NFL had a faster ball carrier miles per hour than Raheem in the last 2 years.
No, as a running back.
Who we got?
As a running back.
No, not even as a running back. Nah, as a player.
He ran faster than Chief.
As a player, bro, look it up. But over 23 miles an hour with the ball in his hand.
Right.
I mean, I know Cheetah probably don't have to get up because a lot of people don't even chase once he in front.
He got the peace sign up.
So he probably could peek out around there. But as far as Raheem getting the ball with all 11 defenders in front of him and outrunning everybody.
The maneuver is different.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So he always up there with me.
And I keep going back to the film. It was freaking legendary. Great job.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, self-produced.
Cincinnati.
Don't fall for it.
All right, so I go back to the film. AP, Adrian Peterson, all day, he invites you one offseason, the first offseason in the league. He's like, yo, come work out with me in Houston. Yep. And you was like, yo, I ain't really on that.
Yeah.
When I was watching that, I was like, damn, like, When I look at you now, I look at you as an OG. I look at you as one of those people. Like, your work ethic is next level. You know what I'm saying? You have your own staff, your own team. Not a lot of dudes invest in that. Like, there's only a couple dudes that do that. Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. In basketball, you got LeBron James. You got others. But the stories that's noted, there's guys, it's like, yo, I'm going to go get – here's my chiropractor on my team. Work with me full time. Mm-hmm. My chef, you know, my trainer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when I'm watching this, I'm like, damn, like, Trent – he next level, he got his own team. And but then, you know, when I'm looking at the film and you being vulnerable, you're like, yo, AP was the one that's like, yo, I'm on this. A lot of your work ethic and how you think today, how you train, how you take care of yourself, does a lot of that come from Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, 100%. My dad had a lot to do with my toughness and being able to persevere through, you know, adversity. But when it comes to learning how to be a professional and how to optimize your body to go into camp at the best shape in your life, I learned all of that from Adrian Peterson, and then his trainer, James Cooper, who we still train together to this day.
So take this time right now, because I feel like there's a lot of basketball players, football players, soccer players, Ocho got dudes playing soccer in Europe, Premier League, watching our show too. You know, and there's a lot of young dudes, a lot of old dudes, a lot of vets. But talk to us about, like, how the process, how do you take care of yourself? What are you doing right now? How are you thinking? What's next?
To be honest with you, I keep, you know, the chef, and I'm a trainer, you know, I do that. But I ain't gonna lie, when it comes to doing body maintenance, like, you know, massages and shit like that, I don't do none of that. I probably got maybe 3 massages my whole career. My whole
NFL career. You know your body type of guy.
Yeah.
You only got 3 massages?
If that.
Don't start.
Don't start.
I got a theory behind it.
All right, go. Let me hear your theory. What's your theory?
I feel like the human body is probably one of the, you know.
Here you go with
the single greatest. The single greatest.
He's smart. He's from East Texas, bro. Don't forget where I'm from, bro.
That's how we
talk about the human body.
The human body. Right.
I'm just saying that's one of the best creations that we know. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to that, I just feel like as far as a masseuse, they go in and break up scar tissue, so to speak. And I feel like if it's like pulling the scab off your skin, you can keep pulling the scab off, you're gonna keep bleeding, it take longer to heal.
See?
So I feel like if I got a little tear, my body already sent it there to fix it. I'm not gonna have somebody else come in, break it up, and fix it on their own. So I feel like the human body is repairing it.
Trent, I love you.
All the people I see, listen, this is from a case study.
This ain't just for him too.
What case
all
study?
The people,
what
all
case
the people,
Trent Williams, Zimmerman, yeah. Trent, case
yeah,
study?
From my 12 years in the league.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I take all that back.
Case study, East Texas, Longview High School.
Longview.
You got a chef.
No way.
You got a chef, right?
Yeah, you got a chef.
Wait a minute.
But when he ain't cooking, I'm eating McDonald's.
Let's go! I'm done with you.
I'm gonna just put it out. Hey,
I'm done with you.
It's more than one way to skin a cat.
Thank you.
Y'all just let three to four months go by before y'all decide to partner and buy franchises together.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Let the viewers forget what just happened here.
Listen, the people at home, everybody, regular people, sports. They need to hear it from somebody else other than me.
Yeah.
That all that maintenance is a money grab, and it's okay if you know your body.
Right.
The best in the fucking game, and he fucking McDonald's.
He's a balance. He got a chef. What? He got a chiropractor on staff.
What did he just tell you?
James Cooper's on
his
staff.
He had 3 massages in 3 years. You get a massage every day.
Here it is.
Every three days.
I didn't feel good to hear that from one of the best.
Here's what it is.
No, go ahead.
Here's what it is.
Y'all tripping.
I agree. Here it is. I agree with you three.
What?
Chill. Damn, bro. See? I said what I said. I agree with you three. But when you fully commit and submit, and you jump on that other train, and you see how you feel after a chiropractor, after eating right, and after doing all these things, it makes you realize that you were off the whole time. So Ocho can stay Ocho.
That's not true, though. That's because that's what you know.
When I went to a chiropractor, I had the same injury for my first 5-6 years. After I went, he adjusted. I said, damn. That's how they feel when it's adjusted. After a game, I hit somebody, I go, say, oh, my third rib is off. Now I fucking know, I'm knowledgeable about the whole situation. Before,
you feel it.
It was just like a little football pain I was fighting through. But once I got right and I got fully centered and I understood what it felt like, I'll say it was a drug for me. Like, I couldn't not go feel that way.
Right.
I had to be fully.
Did you have to pay for it?
Hell yeah.
You got my money to stop.
Like you said, listen, I wish I would have kept eating candy and McDonald's.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, like I said, body maintenance. Like, I ain't just doing it just to do it. Like, if I have an injury or, you know, acute injury, then
you feel
I,
it.
I do everything I need to do to get back to normal. Right. But I'm saying, like, just calling up a masseuse just to break up my scar tissue? Nah, I think I need my scar tissue.
So what's the secret then? So what's the secret? The 9 Pro Bowls, what's the secret?
The secret is it's in them.
Yeah,
it's in them. You can't teach it.
No, but I work.
Some people got it, some people don't.
Some people got it, some people don't.
But I ain't got it.
I've always.
I ain't got it. So what about me? Because I'm sitting here with some legends. Well, all y'all legends.
You can't eat like we can eat.
So what's the? So what about them? Let's talk to them.
So you got to go ahead.
Let's talk to the 80% Americans that's overweight.
Why are they overweight?
You ain't got it.
Why they overweight?
That's what you said. Look, 80%. You ain't got it.
80%. 80% of America that's lazy.
Like you again. That work out every day.
Every day.
We can go and eat whatever we want to eat.
I bust my ass now. Like I'm gonna work.
Yeah, I know you.
So I mean. It kind of balanced out, you know? So if I have an injury, it, I done put so much work into every other part of my body that it can overcome so I can play through that.
See?
You know what I'm saying?
Listen to him. It's the best in the game talking to you.
He is the best.
It ain't just me.
PFF
you thought it was something wrong with me. Ain't nothing wrong with me. That's what the greats do. That's why you was always hurt, because you eat them fucking plants and the fucking broccoli. I'm just saying.
Stop, bro. Stop.
No, I'm just telling the truth. Like, we play a bare bar sport. He in the trenches. You in the trenches, but you eat broccoli.
You gotta go. How you gonna play? How many more years you gonna play?
5.
How many more years you wanna play?
You can't play no more. Hey, man, don't put no limit on it, man.
Hey, hold on.
What? Bro, don't put no limit on greatness. You hear me, man? Listen here. Let me tell you something.
What's the record?
They'll tell you this too. Hold on.
What's the record?
Hey, man. You know how long you can play in this game till you want to stop. You understand what I'm saying? Sure. We're 40 years old. Yeah, so you, right, I mean, you got 7 more years, bro. Yeah.
He can play after that.
But the other thing, you know when a heavyweight is done? You know when a heavyweight is done? A heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, done. You know when he's done?
Nah, when?
When they get sophisticated. Ooh, let that marinate. Let that sizzle in your chest.
Yeah, I'm a lineman. You gotta be sophisticated.
What I'm saying is, what happened is when we get money, and when you make $60 million in a year, okay, here we don't talk about that. I've been thought out there. Yeah, we start reading books and all that. Like you lose it.
What you say? You lose the interest of what?
You lose,
bro.
The
yeah, cause Trent right now, Trent doing big deals in real estate. He got performance facilities, athletic co. He got jet. Y'all don't know he had a jet company. Y'all want to fly private? So talk to me about entrepreneurship. Talk to me about business. Like, how'd you get into real estate? You know, I love that part of the film and your story. Even the flying private. Have you ever booked a private plane?
Never will, no sir.
Have you ever? I know you've flown.
Never in your
private.
Life.
Now you know that. Come on, hell.
Let's start here.
How much is it? You got private jets?
He owned
a
jet.
He owned.
What if he got money? Hey, let me ask something. I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be in your business. For
you good.
You know, I see rappers. I see people flying private. You know, it's an image. I think it's nice, you know, to be able to do so. Just give me some numbers. Let's say, Trent, boy, I got a deal. I need to get to. I need to fly from here to, let's say, New York. Mm-hmm. What's the numbers looking like? One way. What's the numbers for me?
It all depends. Depends on if you got to send the plane back, like if it's last minute and the plane don't have a trip coming back. So you, as a customer, you incur some of that cost.
Okay, give me the best case scenario that's the cheapest for me.
So like if you, for you.
Yeah, for us.
For y'all, I wouldn't make a dollar. I'd do it at cost.
All right, so hold on.
What's cost?
So cost is pretty, it'll be like, how far is New York? What, 2 hours?
It's gonna cost $25,000.
Nah.
I know it because I fly private packing. You know it because you fly private.
I know, but that is not at cost.
That is at cost.
No, it ain't.
$25,000 is more?
Hell yeah.
It's less.
It's
less. Wait. You get
it. At cost, that means he gonna make us pay for the pilot and the gas.
Exactly.
And at cost, that
probably. What's my number?
Nah. How long is New York? What, 3 hours?
2 hours. 3 hours.
3 hours? Yeah, probably like between 9 and 12,000.
But you're paying for
the fuel and the pilot.
You're paying for the fuel and docking fees. Well, if you fly in a Teterboro, that's a little extra than flying in a Morristown.
Yeah, but it's just a little bit. It ain't nothing. Like, when you're talking about 1,000, it ain't even going to hit the rate.
I can go to New York.
But you can't do this right here. I bet you can't do this. You got a pilot?
Yeah.
Pull your phone out. I bet you can't do this. See, this is what you can't do. You can go to New York. You're going to get your... Right there, like how we all go. You can't do this. Call your pilot. Tell him. Can you call your pilot?
We call my pilot. But he called him, call mine. And watch how fast we get to the same destination.
Quite sure you're flying back private, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's call him. Let's see how. We want to hear how our conversation go.
What you want me to he already know the plan. What you want me to say?
I just asked him the plans.
Just make sure it's still on.
Yeah.
735 dot, right?
Yeah, let me call my pilot. Let me text my pilot.
Text or you calling?
Nah, I'm gonna wait till he finish.
All right, go.
Expedia. Go to Expedia.
I'm gonna show you how to save some money right here. Come on.
Hey, Dan. I'm on the set, man, so watch your mouth. But everything good for tomorrow for the plane, right?
I don't know about everything for tomorrow. Danny is flying and he needs to assign the crew. So it's either fly you out tomorrow night or fly you out on Friday.
Yeah, but we good.
Tell him you got two more. Tell him you got two more.
We got two more. That don't matter. We good.
Can I call my pilot?
Call yours. Call it.
We can take out the 14. We straight.
You thought you would ever have a G4?
Nah, I didn't.
That's crazy.
He said 9, right? How much
appreciate,
that was?
Yeah, appreciate that, Dan. I call you later.
How much that was? That's about 9 for a trip.
He said 9 to 12.
9 to 12,000?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me call my pilot.
We already there.
But he own it, so he making dumb too.
Y'all ain't.
Hold on, he's calling his pilot, and then we gonna come back and we're gonna talk about it.
Yeah, my pilot must be in the air. Yeah. my pilot might be in flight.
Yeah. Bro, hey, when you drop,
ain't no Wi-Fi over the Everglades.
It ain't, huh?
Ain't no Wi-Fi, you know ain't no Wi-Fi
over the Everglades.
Here we heard that. All right, Dan, get the crew together.
Hey, you my pilot, right? So do me a favor, right? Where your computer?
Baby, I got to go.
Ooh. What you doing?
I gotta go to media night.
Okay, hold on. Do me a favor real quick. Hey, look on Spirit Airlines, see how much the exit road in New York real quick.
Exit road.
No, just see the price, how much it is.
After you have to pay for everything, it's probably gonna be like $200-$300.
That's it? Oh, so, man, Trini here trying to get me to fly to New York on a private jet for like $9,000. What you think?
Oh, no, we can just...
Yeah, okay.
All right. You can fly Delta and we still have a lot of money.
All right, I know. I'm going to teach Trent by financial literacy. I got one of my books in the car. I'm going to give it to him when we leave here.
Yeah, make sure you take care of him, baby.
All right, I got him.
All right, but let me put you on game, though.
Pilot.
Let me put you on game.
Ooh.
I didn't get the jet just to have a jet. You know what I'm saying? If you look, there's a bill, tax bill, that's a heavy machinery tax bill. So you have anything over 6,000 pounds, the value of that, they give you back, once you depreciate it 100% the first year, they give you back 40% of that jet. So if you bought a $10 million jet, you're gonna get back $4 million on your next tax returns. So the way I did it, my jet was a little over $3 million.
Well, you got money.
So,
money.
No, listen.
Money.
Listen, all I did was put part of the signing bonus in an account, in a brokerage account. So they growing it for me. And then I borrowed 50% of that for 1% on an interest only line of credit.
You see, you going too fast, Trent. Trent, you going too fast, Trent. You going too fast.
You going too fast for him. Go ahead.
I pay. $30,000, a little bit over $30,000 a year, just in interest only, and then I get back a little by 1.3 on my taxes. So I paid $30,000 to make 1.2.
He's playing chess, not checking.
I'm using my old lineman saying 55 to Mike.
Why's the X?
This is my. We're talking about appreciating value and you put it in.
I told y'all he's smart.
I put it in escrow and I hold it there, boy.
Like, you know how fucking
crazy
on this escrow for people to see a different side.
That's raw.
That's a left tackle.
Right. Yeah. Facts.
And that's so fucking raw, man.
I took a note when I was watching. Sure. One of my notes was, how important is it to shadow and learn business before you jump right in?
Oh, it's extremely important. I studied real estate for about almost 3 years, 2.5, 3 years before I made any purchase, you know. So what got me onto that is that I studied it. I said, hey, houses appreciate faster when they're around good schools. Googled the best school zone in Houston, was outside of Houston in Katy. Went out to Katy, found two like, you know, neighborhood, home divisions in that school district. And then I just bought as many homes they let me buy. So one of them let me buy four, and one of them let me buy five. Well, they let me buy four, but I put one in my agent name because it was already ready to go. And we built these from the ground up. And since I bought them in bulk, I got them at the bare bone price. So I got these houses at 189, and I mean, not even a month later, they was at 215. Then now we just sold one for 280.
Also, talk to me about, like, there was one point where I heard you say, you was like, yo, I got two developments going at the same time,
mm-hmm.
like from the ground up.
Yeah.
They're within 3 miles of each other. So the same team is working on both. So now my labor cost is cut. Like,
yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, those, we literally, we're going under contract as we speak. So, you know, that's something that we're gonna celebrate later, but.
You can't speak on that?
Yeah, I can speak on it.
Well, speak on it. You talking about celebrate, what are we celebrating?
I mean, so, you know, I put about a little over $5 million into it. And, you know, I think I'm supposed to see like 12 to 13 back.
We're gonna celebrate. We going to Tussie's. Let's go.
He's at Tussie's. He know Tussie's. I know you know Tussie's.
Huh? Hey, let's reality. For the people that watch, we talking about your wins, but there got to be losses as well.
For sure.
There got to be chances that you take in business and entrepreneurship. So people at home don't think, oh, everything is glitz and glamour. Please address also the losses that you've taken as well, not in depth with it, but just let them know there's a chance in everything that you do.
Yeah, for sure. But I think what made me gravitate towards real estate is that it's black and white. Like, nobody can cheat you out of this, what you see right here standing in front of you. You know what I'm saying? So there is no snakes hiding in the grass with real estate. And I've taken a lot of losses in other business, trusting the wrong people, and we all have. You know, that's part of being a young man with money, and you're trying to, everybody tell you, you know, you got to make money off the field, sustain a life, you need a plan B. So us, as early as 21, 22, we already out here trying to look at a business plan, and we don't know, shit from sugar.
Facts.
You know, so we take a lot of losses. That's why I always tell kids in the locker room or young fellas just to be patient. Right. You know, it ain't going nowhere. But I think for me, that's what drew me towards real estate, because I really didn't take a loss. You know, my first, like I said, I bought those houses and I forgot about them. They finished building them in, I want to say September.
Right.
I was during the season, I didn't even think nothing about them. And I get back in, you know, January, and I got a check for like 40 grand. And it ain't really nothing, but it's like,
it's a lot when you're done playing ball.
It's mailbox money, guys. It's called mailbox money.
That's right.
It comes every month.
But also we need to talk to the dudes that's watching. It's a lot for those dudes that's retired, right? Like, I was talking to a pro bowler right now. He's like, I don't want to go to the pro bowl. I want to do these Super Bowl deals. You know, he made $200,000. He said, it ain't worth my time no more. We talking about 2 days, a couple hours. And I said, young man, I said, do that right now. I said, what you do, my exact words, bro, I'm not into real estate. I said, what you do is go do that, make that $200,000, put it into real estate, and I'm telling you, when you're done playing ball, you're going to be like, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to think bigger than what, you know, we think, oh, I'm making $10 million, I'm making $15 million, I'm making $20 million a year. That $40,000, $50,000 don't mean nothing. That means a lot when you done retire, because that 20, you ain't getting $20 million a year.
Nah,
what you're getting is, you're getting 5-6% of that $20 million a year. So that is your lifestyle. That dictates how you move.
Yeah.
If you're making 20, you take 20 million, if you got 20 million in your portfolio and you get 5-6%, that dictates your lifestyle. How much you're paying in your housing, your travel.
Yeah, everything. I would say maybe his class and the younger guys, they have a way bigger advantage than we had, you know what I mean?
So
like the marketing and all the video.
Social media.
The Twitch.
Well, you know it ain't a lot of marketing for old linemen. That's I've got to get mine through the mud, with investments and stuff like that.
Your marketing is being the best at what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, but
that's your sales pitch. Yeah, and then you don't have to say that.
All right, I got four names for you to end the show.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
First reaction, RG3.
Oh, I mean, RG3, man. He led us to the playoffs. My first playoff game came off his back, so.
That's
I
it.
I ain't got nothing bad to say about him. That's okay. My dog,
Kirk,
man.
Kirk
dog.
Cousins.
Kirk, I like Kirk, man. I think Kirk get a lot of bad flat, you know, but when you look at him, when you watch silent film and you look at the silent tape without the announcers in the crowd, I mean, Kirk makes play after play, he makes incredible throws. So I think he deserves where he's at. You know, I don't understand the hate.
Listen to what I'm about to say.
I got you.
Shanahan.
All of them? Both of them?
Hey, with me. Listen to me. Linda. Shanahan. Because you got Mike Shanahan, you got Kyle Shanahan. I had Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah. I mean, I love that whole family. The whole family tree from Mike, you know, to his wife, to Kyle, his wife, the kids. The whole nine, man. They're you know, I can't say enough about them. They stood beside me, you know, through thick and thin. They seen me in my troubles. He came and rescued me. You know what I'm saying? When a lot of people didn't see what I had, you know, a lot of people didn't have me going where I went, and they seen something in me, and they took a chance, selecting me number four.
Right.
You know, when nobody had me going that high, so I got a lot of appreciation for that.
I like that. I'm sure you and I have a lot of love for the Shanahan family, but wait until you meet the Brown and Blackburns. Because that's what life is about. Life is about me.
Hey, they had their shot last year. I was free as a bird, man. Nobody give me no calls, so, you know. I guess that little birdie wasn't chirping last year.
Well, now, we ain't missed the rodeo. We going to get that over there now.
It's over, bro.
Nah, they going to see this. Trust me.
He got 5 years left. They got to trade for him. Are y'all going to give up a first rounder?
We'll do that.
Y'all gonna do that?
We'll do that. What do we need right now? We stacked across the board.
Long as we ain't gotta give away our receivers and running backs and quarterback, we'll give everything else up.
So you give up a first rounder, and you gonna pay him, and you gonna pay him?
We $43 million under the cap.
Okay, all right, we gonna get it done. You cool with that?
No, he ain't cool.
He can't say it. He can't.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I love, like I said, I love the Shanahan, love the York family. I love all of them, man.
I got one more.
We locked in.
When I say this, I like what comes up, right? Like really think, I'm going deep now, like, but it ain't really deep.
I got you.
All right, it's three people. Their names begin with M, triple M. What comes up?
My kids.
Talk to me.
My daughters, yeah. All three of them, Micah, Michaela, Marley. You know, that was the light at the end of the tunnel when it was dark, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's my world. That's what I live for. That's all this grinding in the gym, after hours, you know, walking construction sites. I do it all with them in mind.
Let me talk about one other person, you know, Vincent.
Vincent, that's my dog, man. Vince, man, what, damn near 13 years ago now. I mean, he, you know, not only did he, you know, come and went in time, we was in college, you know, and, confused, a lot of stuff going on, know who, what agent to choose, you know, and then here comes Vince. Actually grew up from the same turf, you know, had good relationship with my father, you know, my father looked out for him a lot. And it just felt right. It felt right. And, you know, one of the things that let me know, you know, that he was different is just when I had my first child, you know, he was there at the hospital down there before me. You know, it was dropping flowers off, you know, just because it wasn't about football at that point. It was about understanding your transition into a father. I'm here to support you. So it was just from that day on, the loyalty and, you know, I can call him anything under the sun, you know, and I know that's going to be between us and that he'll give me the best information that my ears can hear. So, you know, Vince is one of the, he's a godsend, and, you know, I definitely wouldn't be sitting with y'all without him. So yeah, that's a lot of love there.
Smart, handsome, smooth.
Good looking nigga too, eh?
Why don't O linemen get more attention, more deals? Cause that's what you saying. You saying
oh,
like,
I did, oh. I did say that. I tweeted that the other day. Oh, I tweeted about you. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I seen that.
Yeah, I tweeted about him and Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
Right.
So did. What they need to be featured more. And I think obviously many of them don't have outgoing personalities. They don't talk enough. Yeah. I think next year in Cincinnati, you should talk trash to the DNs you're gonna see throughout the week.
Yeah. Make a list like how Chad do.
Yeah, make a list of all the DNs.
I'm saying that's what it's about right now though, bro.
That dude, that's something that's never been done before.
Yeah, but for us in this world we live in today, if I go out here
They gonna boasting say you, and bragging
prior to the game. Yeah. Nah, but you know, the position we play, it ain't about one play. I gotta play 60 plays consistently, every play, because I can put you on your back five times in a row.
And that one time you lose,
and you get by me in strip sack, go the other way, touchdown. No matter how good my PFF grade is, the fans gonna look at me as the scapegoat. Like, that's man, you bullshit.
Right.
You know, so offensive line, we just kind of, we coach it a different way. You can't have success. I don't say nothing. Like, if you don't talk to me, I don't talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that my job ain't done after one play. My job is done when the whistle blow and we up on the scoreboard. You know what I'm saying?
Trent, that has nothing to do with your position. That has everything to do with greatness.
I appreciate it, man.
And y'all can push back if you you did it.
I talked the whole time.
Yeah, he did.
There's only a handful of dudes that can talk trash and back it up.
He can talk trash and back it up too. He just choose not to because of the position he plays is frowned upon.
If he talk trash, but they give up seven sacks, they gonna talk back about him.
It's different.
He ain't giving up O-linemen seven sacks.
O-linemen are one, bro.
Yeah.
They're not individual.
If they won, why everybody ain't making the same amount of money?
That's one position? That is a one.
I only made one All-Pro my whole career. It's not because I'm not an All-Pro caliber player. It's because the teams I was on, we wasn't that good. So I never got... personal recognition. Yeah.
You're going to get it today. Right. Hey, Trent motherfucking Williams, bitch. That's it. Omar, you heard it first, so you can jump ahead of the rest of the media. Trent Williams to the Bengals.
Hey, break the news.
Go break it.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.